salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in to the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study here in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And Jericho is a city over there near the Jordan River, to the east of Jerusalem. There's cities that we're hearing the scriptures about, Bethpage and Bethany, that are between the two. The road, as we understand, leading from Jerusalem to Jericho and back is south of the Mount of Olives there, which is immediately east of Jerusalem in the Temple Mount. And the Lord is going to this town. He has a purpose in doing so, and we see in verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So this man, Zacchaeus, he says he's a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Understanding tax collection in that day is somewhat different than it is today, especially in our nation. In that day, if we understand historically and correctly historically, there were those that would petition Rome to collect taxes in various regions. And those people would be people of influence, people with connection in the Roman government at Rome. They would look when it would come time to levy taxes, when Rome would determine that it's time for the taxation of their realm, these rights for taxation would be sold to men able to buy the right, and they would there would be some deal that would be made, provision for margin that they would have. Rome wanted their money. And these men might be wealthy enough to pay the taxes for an entire region and then be allowed to collect what they paid for the right to pay taxes that they gave to Caesar, that they gave to Rome, and beyond for the profit that they're going to make. And of course, you can understand that this would be a system that would be very much prone to corruption and fraud of the people, double taxation at times, and that. So there's the person on the ground, the man that's on the ground in Rome vying for the rights to collect the taxes in a particular region, say Judea or Galilee, the land of Canaan, as is this case. Then there are those that are on the ground at the scene of the collecting the taxes. There are the tax collectors that are the possibly even brutes. I mean, we know that the publicans, the tax collectors, were hated by the children of Israel in this day, in the day of our Lord Jesus and his life and ministry on this earth. And they would be the ones that at the lower level that would rough people up. And of course, and they would actually be the collecting. They would be estimating what somebody should pay. Sometimes taxes were collected just by head tax. And so if you had a family and the count of your family and all that, you would just pay according to the number that you had. And then no doubt other taxes would be levied. And so there are those fellows that are immediately on the ground interfacing with the people to get the money collected. And then, of course, they would have bosses. They would have those that would be over them there in the region of Canaan, in this case, and in the land of Israel, that would be bosses over this fleet that would go out and accomplish this work. So three tiers, as we understand. The man back in Rome that did the negotiating for the right to collect the taxes, the bosses that are there in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee that have all these fellas that work for them, some of them probably not too savory, and then they collect the taxes, and then that just in turn gets pushed on up to the entrepreneur, the one that got the right in Rome. So those men are paid out of this tax levy. The chiefs, the ones that are over the men collecting taxes in the land, they get their pay by the levy tax plus. And then that man that bought the rights, he's looking to make a large amount of money also. And then Rome, Caesar, is paid, as it is in this day, the tax that he wants to collect. And so Zacchaeus is one of these fellows. He doesn't seem to be the man in Rome, but he does seem to be a leader, a chief, as it says, among the publicans that are there collecting taxes. You could have men that are honest in this system, and it seems that this man is. We'll see what's said. We'll see his heart revealed here. But then you could have crooks, too. And the way the children of Israel looked at the publicans is that they'd sold out their nation. They were traitors, and they were collecting money for the occupier of the land, for Rome. And that just didn't set well with the people. They were despised, and they were hated. We see here that Zacchaeus is a rich man. Why is he rich? He's been doing very well collecting taxes. And so the margin that he's allowed, and what he's doing, he's done well with it, and that's the way that system worked. It says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And so here, Zacchaeus gets word that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to the town. And no doubt, by the time of this time of the Lord's ministry, when Jesus is heading a certain way, there's a crowd following with him typically. There gets the attention of those that are in the direction that he's heading. No doubt there would be people that would know that Jesus would be heading a certain direction, and then they would run forward when they would find out why. To let their family know, to let their friends know, to go get that ill, sick, injured, health-laden member of their family or friend, to get them to Jesus because they've heard and know that Jesus can heal. And so the people being people, we know that it would work that way. And so word came into the town that Jesus is coming, and he wanted to see Jesus, but the thing is, he's a short man. He's of little stature. He just can't see over the shoulders of other fellas. He just can't see. He's too short. And so it says here, and he ran before. And so we have that hint that there's an understanding of the route that he's going to take, or an estimation of the route that Jesus is going to take. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And so somehow he understood, maybe on the main thoroughfare that Jesus is traveling on, and it just seemed obvious, or maybe he got some word from the disciples, the apostles, of where Jesus was heading. However it was, he had understanding of the way that Jesus would go, enough to get to that sycamore tree and be one that could get up in it, and so he might see the Lord. He wants to see the Lord Jesus. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him. So Zacchaeus wishes to see Jesus. He runs ahead and gets in the sycamore tree. And as the Lord Jesus is walking along, he stops. He stops right there where that man is, up in that sycamore tree. He said unto him in verse number 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Oh, what wonderful words. What wonderful words. This man, no doubt hated by the city, hated by those in the community, He gets the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by anything that he's done, but his desire to see the Lord. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord honors that. This man has a desire to Jesus. Now, he may not have understanding that he needs to be saved yet. He may not have understanding that the way of the Lord is the way of life. But he wants to see Jesus. And you know what? He gets to see Jesus more than just passing by. He's a man of influence, a man of power, being a publican. I mean, the tax is levied and he can collect it. And so he's a man known that has power in the city. But I tell you what, when he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, his power is nothing. His influence is nothing. And Jesus says to him, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Today I'm going to abide, I'm going to be at your house with you. You want to see me? You're going to get to see me. And he made haste. Zacchaeus hurried up and came down and received him joyfully. So he's excited. He's thankful. He's rejoicing that Jesus would come and have to do with him. Nobody wants to have to do with Zacchaeus, except those that work for him. And no doubt his friends are few, and we don't know what kind of family he has, the size of it, whether he has a wife, whether he has children or not. And for this very important one to want to come and be in his house, oh, he says, yes, come on. And he's rejoicing in that. And when they saw it, that is the crowd, they all murmured. Can you hear the low din of the crowd? Mumbling and murmuring and this the buzz of the crowd talking, why is he going with this man? They all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They believed that this treacherous work of being a publican, a tax collector, was indeed just that. It was treason against the nation and against the people. And Jesus is going to go be at a house, a guest of a man like that. And so there's opposition. There's always opposition to the way of the Lord and the way of righteousness. This man needs to be saved the same as any other man, woman, boy, or girl in Jericho. He needs the Lord Jesus too. You know, and he's got a desire to the Lord Jesus, for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is merciful, and he honors that. And he honors that in a great way. He honors that in a personal way. That's the kind of Savior that the Lord Jesus Christ is. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Here we see this man is repentant. This man is rejoicing. This man has received something by the Lord that is greater than all the wealth that he has. And he makes this declaration showing indeed that he desires to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is. I think that this man has been saved. He hears the murmuring of the people, and he makes this declaration. He says, half of my goods are going to the poor, Lord. The Lord hadn't told him to, but the half of them go to the poor. That's happening today, tomorrow. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. If I have mistaxed anyone, I'll give it to him four times. A man changed. A man that indeed saw the Lord. A man that saw the Lord so that he has a relationship with the Lord and a love by the Lord for him and his love for his Savior. I see that our time has passed. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.